The road is long, and it's getting dark. You walk along and feel a strange atmosphere. You look ahead into the distance, and you notice a cloud of fog. As you get closer to the fog, you realize that it's getting closer to you too. You hear the sounds of what seems like people marching along, with the sound of clanging metal. Suddenly, you're in the midst of the fog, and surrounded by Roman soldiers, who are marching along the road. They don't see you, and walk through you. After a few seconds, they've moved on. You watch them walk up the road, until they're out of sight. Welcome to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. Firstly, I must apologise for only releasing one episode last week. I have a virus that just don't seem to be shifting very quickly, and I've been laid up. Luckily, I'm feeling well enough to get back to it, so let's go on. Bealey is a small village north of Redditch in Worcestershire. On the western side of the village runs an ancient Roman road called Icknield Street. Icknield Street originally started from the Fossway in Bourton-on-the-Water and is believed to have stopped at Templeton in Yorkshire. It's thought that Bealey would have been a popular stopping point for Roman soldiers. Most of the road is long gone, but there are traces of it that are still in use, running through Ulster, Studley, Redditch, Birmingham and Sutton Coalfield. And in some of these places, it's still visible. The first recorded document that mentions Bealey is from when King Edgar the Peaceful restored the lands to Pershore Abbey in 972. In the Domesday Book of 1086, it recorded that Pershore Abbey held 21 hides of land at Bealey and Yardley. The name of Bealey is thought to mean bee meadow, or it could possibly be linked to the Beauchamp family, who were the lords of the manor during the medieval period. At the top of the hill in Bealey stands a Norman church, which was built in 1140 by Geoffrey of Limesey, who was the lord of the manor at that time. The church is dedicated to Saint Leonard, the patron saint of prisoners and ironworkers. It's very possible that there was a Saxon church in the same location. Just over the road from the church is what is known as the Mount, which is believed to have once been an Iron Age hill fort. From field evidence, it suggests that a pre-Saxon prehistoric earthwork within an enclosure which could have been an Iron Age hill fort and may have been redeveloped in the 12th century as a manor house or hunting lodge. It's recorded that a building of this type was destroyed by fire in 1303 when it was owned by the notorious Earl of Warwick, Guy de Beauchamp. A court may have been built on the same site during the 13th century, but it was deserted in the 14th century. It's thought that the lord of the manor after Geoffrey of Limesey was Roger Mortimer, lord of Wigmore, around 1175. The Beauchamps became lords of the manor from 1265 until 1446, when Henry de Beauchamp, the first Duke of Warwick, died. It was then passed on to his daughter, Elizabeth, who was the wife of George Neville, 1st Baron Latimer. It then remained with the Latimers until 1549, when the lands were sold by John Neville, the 4th Baron Latimer. The lands and the manor were sold to a very rich family called the Sheldons, once known as the wealthiest commoners in England. William Sheldon already owned much property in Bealey, including Walford Hall and Bennett's Place, during the reign of Edward IV, between 1460 and 1483. William Sheldon was a supporter of the Royalists during the War of the Roses. When Richard III was defeated by Henry Tudor at the Battle of Bosworth in 1485, William forfeited his properties and land until they were restored to him just before he died in 1517. William Sheldon II married into a wealthy Cotswold wool family, well known for producing the best quality wool. He became well known for financing tapestry weaving, which was set up in Workhuts in Barcheston near Shipton-on-Stour and the now empty Bordesley Abbey in Redditch. William sent his son Ralph to Flanders so that he could learn from the top Flemish weavers. Ralph brought some of the Flemish weavers back to work in England. It wasn't long before the Sheldon tapestries were some of the finest quality in the world, many still seen today in stately homes and museums. Ralph married Anne Throckmorton of Coton Court in 1557, and they had a son, Edward, in 1558. Edward was a royalist during the English Civil War and was captured at the Battle of Worcester. During this time, his house, Beeley Hall, was attacked by parliamentary forces that had come from Birmingham. They caused considerable damage. Edward was encouraged to pull Beeley Hall and other buildings down. He did this and rebuilt Beeley Hall, either in the same location or very close by. In 1788, another Ralph Sheldon, descendant of the same line, sold the manor to Thomas Holmes, who sold the house and estates in lots at the end of the 18th century. Beeley Hall stood in very bad disrepair in 1968, but has now been split up into private apartments. There have been many ghost sightings in this little village. Some are very old. In the 1950s, a woman who worked on a farm in Beeley was walking home after finishing work. It was a dark but mild evening, and she was used to walking alone in the countryside. She was walking along Icknield Street and was getting near to the crossroads at the bottom of Church Hill when she noticed a thick fog just behind the crossroads. As she got nearer, she noticed that the fog was getting closer. As it approached, she could hear what sounded like marching, along with the sound of clanging metal. Then she could make out the shapes of people. She moved to the side of the road and stood still, unsure of what was happening. But as they started to pass her, she was surrounded in the fog. She could see what looked like Roman soldiers in the fog. She said that they were wearing helmets and carrying shields. The fog and the collective phantoms passed by after a few seconds, but they didn't disappear. The marching fog carried on along Icknield Street until they were well out of sight. She wasn't shook up by the incident. In fact, she said that she was fascinated. When she went into work the next day, she told the owners of the farm what she'd experienced, and they told her that it was an old Roman road, and it was a common sighting. The farmer himself had seen it a few times. The crossroads at Beeley have been the site of many supernatural occurrences over the years. In the 1970s, a man who had been to the Village Inn pub, the pub in Beeley, was driving through the village late at night. The road was silent, with only one car at a considerable distance that he'd been following since leaving the pub. As he reached the top of Church Hill and passed St. Leonard's Church, he noticed that the car that he had been following had been involved in an accident at the bottom end of the hill, at the crossroads. He drove near to the site and parked his car on the verge, about 15 metres away, and made his way to the crash, when a fire suddenly broke out on the car involved. He ran towards the car, and as he got closer, the fire got more fierce for about 10 seconds. The car and the fire then disappeared. The road was suddenly silent again. He stood around for a few minutes, trying to contemplate what had just happened. He then sat in his car and drove home. That night shocked him that much that he never drove along that road ever again. Over the years, there have been many accidents around the crossroads of Churchill and McNeill Street. One goes back into folklore. There is an old story that if you ride a horse up Church Hill in Beeley, a goblin comes out and jumps on the back of the horse, sending it into a panic and throwing the rider from the horse. The Village Inn, a pub at the Holt End area of Beeley, has also had a number of paranormal incidents. Doors have been known to unlock and open just after they've been locked. The electricity has gone off, as if there has been a power cut. This has happened many times. The gas in the cellar is often turned off, and the taps in the customer toilets are often turned on at night. Puddles of water have been found in areas of the pub where there is no water supply. Locals say that the snug area of the pub was once used as a place to lay out bodies when local people had died. In 2012, a new landlady took over the pub. She was in the snug one night when she watched a woman walk in, who came from the corridor and moved quickly across the room, making her way to the window. She said that she could see her clearly, but she looked hazy, like she was thin smoke. She described her as having no colour, like a black and white photo. She went on to say that she was wearing a very dirty, long apron that reached to the floor, and that she was bent over as if she was very old. About a month later, she saw a man in the same area of the pub, also late at night. She described him as balding and looking very smart, in a white shirt and black waistcoat. Very Victorian looking. She said that his eyes really stood out. They were very bright and piercing. He just stood at the window. An old ghost story from the village is about a charcoal burner who was once burned alive after an accident while working. Apparently, you can still hear his screams when the wind is high. I couldn't find any evidence on this incident, but I did find an interesting historic crime from the 13th century. In 1221, a notorious gang from around the West Midlands went on a crime spree. After robbing a house in Sutton Coalfield, two were caught in the act while the others escaped. Another three of the gang were hanged for murder, but before they were caught, they committed a crime in Beeley. John Colfox observed the charcoal burner and Geoffrey, his brother, and Robert Bromhall went to Roger the Beadle's house in Beeley and broke in. They cut off Roger's foot and his wife's fingernails and fled. It's not sure what happened to Obsert, the charcoal burner, and his brother Geoffrey. There is no found record. Perhaps Obsert was the charcoal burner who died in the fire in Beeley. In the 1960s, two painter and decorators were working on the vicarage at St. Leonard's when they saw the ghost of a vicar. He was described as slightly transparent and only seen for a few seconds, but long enough for them to see him. The church has a ghost story too. When one of the past vicars died, his ghost kept returning on Sunday mornings to take service. This went on for years, until the congregation had had enough of being scared. An exorcism was performed, and the ghost was banished to the Red Sea for 50 years. The ghost came back after the 50-year period was over. Perhaps it's the same one in the vicarage. Thank you for listening to Ghost Tales by the Fireside. You can find more information about the episodes on ghosttales.co.uk. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook, both at Ghost Tales Podcast. All writing, research, music production and sound effects are my own work.